If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top-brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Welcome in to the CHGO White Sox Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm Sean Anderson, the host of the CHGO White Sox Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean underscore W underscore Anderson. Alongside me is the full CHGO White Sox crew. We got Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. And the man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. And today, we got a discussion on top 10 pitchers in Major League Baseball, starting pitchers, right? Edwin Diaz, very, very good.
You scared me there for a second. I was like, ooh. I did not come prepared to talk about the best relievers in baseball.
No. That's a different class.
You're going to need to give me about a week to figure that one out.
Different list, and not as many clicks, you know?
No.
So, and mainly this is starting from MLB Network. Herb and I, on your birthday, while you were away, welcome back.
Thank you.
From your trip.
I'm always back from Milwaukee. Somewhere.
Always back.
Back from the good land.
I thought it was Australia. Herb and I discussed Tim Anderson not being on the top 10 MLB, or being ninth on MLB Network's top 10 shortstops, but three of the panelists not featuring him in the top 10. And then...
A lot of good shortstops.
that's a discussion we had. We even had a discussion, is Tim Anderson the fourth best shortstop in the American League Central? Because Herb thinks Amed Rosario had a better 2022.
He did.
Who else am I thinking of? Javi Baez was the other candidate.
Correa. Javi Baez was actually fifth. Bobby Correct. Witt.
Bobby Witt. Yeah, sure.
Some of the panelists said Bobby Witt above Tim Anderson, which
I
was like, ooh.
And we said no. Yeah. I think only Correa is better than Tim Anderson in division.
But MLB Network continued their rankings, and I think this is one of their final lists, and it's top 10 starting pitchers in current 2023. Top 10 starting pitchers right now. Corbin Burns, number one. Justin Verlander, number two. Carlos Rodon, number three. Max Scherzer, number four. Sandy Alcantara, number five. Shohei Ohtani at six. Max Fried, number seven. At number eight, Zach Wheeler. Number nine, Jacob DeGrom. Number 10, Julio Urias. Missing is not all-star, but second in American League Cy Young voting in 2022, Dylan Cease. As Connor also has beef as Alek Manoah, who I think finished fifth in AL Cy Young voting, was not featured. Only three American League pitchers featured in that top 10. What do we make of the list? Because even Garrett Cole's not. I have a lot of thoughts. What do you make of the list, guys?
I think this. I'll set up what will be a running theme throughout the rest of the day, at least for me, and that's those guys are all really good. Yeah. There's a lot of guys who are really good. Like, I don't think you could screw this up. I understand people will see a player from their favorite team or maybe their favorite player from another team left off and be like, oh, well, the whole thing's invalid because you left off the one guy I like. There are a lot of really good starting pitchers, which I think makes this fun and makes it easy in a way because, like I said, I don't think you can really screw it up too bad. But, hey, we were talking when I walked in here yesterday, we were talking about, Dylan Cease and the White Sox. And I think I mentioned, like, well, he's probably the favorite for the AL Cy Young because the guy who beat him out for it this past year is over in the NL East these days. And there were some people around me who were like, really? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of good pitchers, but yeah, I mean, he had that good of a year last year. And I think, certainly if you talk to everybody involved with the White Sox and coaching up them pitchers, they think that this is just the beginning for him, too.
Well, and before we get to your thoughts, I heard your point about that. And it's like, yeah, Justin Verlander had all 30 unanimous votes. And now you look at Garrett Cole and Carlos Rodon, they pitch for the same team. We saw when Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke had great years for the Dodgers. They split votes, so it's possible that Cole and Rodon would split votes. And then you just have to beat out Alek Manoah or even Kevin Gausman, and they might have that same issue of splitting votes. I mean, Dylan Cease, unless Lance Lynn or Lucas Giolito return to that form, he really won't have that issue.
And Lance Lynn might.
And Lucas Giolito might.
And I think this list that the MLB Network came out, of course, all of this is them just guessing. And you guys put out 15 each in our chat, and I was like, it's not wrong, because there's some pitchers I left off of my list. I'm like, oh, God. And just looking at that list, I'm like, oh, yeah, I left a couple of those guys, like Wheeler, sorry, I'm a spoiler alert, off of my list. But he easily could be on my list, because it's just what you like as right. a viewer. It's like, I like, you know, more of a pitcher's pitcher, a person that's going to be not necessarily just a fireballer striking people out, a person that understands how to pitch, get outs. That's how I like it. I don't know what their criteria was. I didn't necessarily view the whole show, because I watched the end and I was like, I'm just pissed because they don't have the second place winner in the AL Cy Young, who's the youngest person in this list, I believe. I'm on my list. Like, not on the list. Going into year 27. Like, he's coming into his prime and like, he walks too many people. It's like, what does he do all the rest of the time? He led the league in walks. He finished second in the AL Cy Young. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? This man understands how to pitch, and he leaves people on base. I think he's third in the league in left on base percentage last year for 2022. So, yeah, he can walk people, but those some bitches ain't getting in because he leaves them right where they are.
Well, and I'll say a couple other things. First, about that MLB Network list, Sean, you pointed out Garrett Cole's not on that list. They have a Phillies pitcher who might not be the best pitcher on the Phillies on that list, which is interesting. You go ahead and you've got the idea of, Herb, you brought it up, what's the criteria?
Did you show the MLB Network one? My bad.
What's the criteria? We got Steven over there just giving away lists. He doesn't know which list to keep track of.
With his homemade ham.
Yeah, when you got Zach Wheeler on there, I was like, he's good.
Zach Wheeler's great, but there's a guy on his own team who maybe deserves to be on there above him, as we'll get to. But, Herb, you brought up criteria, and I think even the three of us probably have three different criteria that we were using to make this list. You know, I even was asking Sean, like, you know, I just saw your guys' list. What are we doing here? How are we determining this? You know, is it the guy who right now has earned the status of best pitcher? Is it the guy that you think moving forward is going to be the best pitcher? Is it one of those, if you were going to start a brand new team tomorrow, who do you want as your ace? Is it one of those, if you had to win one game, who do you go out and pick? You know, there are so many different directions that you could go in your own mind when just getting this question that, again, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think it just is a fun discussion.
I think the most egregious thing on that list is not that Garrett Cole or Dylan Cease is missing, is where they put Sandy Alcantara. Unbelievably, they put him like fifth.
Oh, you're not going to like mine then.
To me,
he'll like mine.
There is no better pitcher in the league. And I'm sorry, I'm spoiling our list already.
You're really just steamrolling.
He's our number. Like, I've seen him pitch. Like, he is a pitcher's pitcher. He gets the job done. There's only two people on my list that didn't strike out as many people as they threw innings. He's one of them. You know why? He gets ground ball contact. He gets early outs. He's one of the pitchers that went six complete games this year. Very few people do complete games anymore, and Sandy Alcantara is one of them. He's just a dominant pitcher on a garbage team.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Dylan and why he wasn't ranked on this list, because I think we'll talk about your rankings and more about your guy Sandy Alcantara, because you seem revved up and ready to go for it.
Doesn't make sense.
Love it. It doesn't make any sense. And we'll talk about it after our first break. We'll get into our list, and we'll talk a little bit about the criteria, because I think that's a fun discussion too, like, you know, what went into this. And I think part of the thing that doesn't make Dylan Cease appealing is because of the walks. I mean, he led the major leagues in walks. That's a bad stat to lead the major leagues in. I think that's probably the biggest issue. And then the other issue is, you talk about complete games, you know, Sandy Alcantara's amazing innings pitch numbers in the past 2 years. I got some crazy stuff for total batters faced as well, just why he might be a
TBF.
Yeah, TBF.
Yeah. Good.
Very funny.
I like what you did there.
Thank you. Everybody loves my voice. I mean, that's the funniest show on TV history.
Oh, man, remember that? Oh, wow.
Love it. I think is the issue with Cease, like, not going deep into games. Like, I think we saw in September he had the near no-hitter against the Twins, but there's not a lot of dominant 8-9-inning games for Dylan Cease. Is that the big thing, the walks and lack of, you know, length and staying power, where, you know, I think Justin Verlander had less starts in 2022, but still more innings pitched than Cease?
I think the White Sox thing hurts him. The fact that the team had a bad year, so you don't necessarily go to Dylan Cease highlights or to look for him, even though in the middle of that, he had a record-breaking streak there where he was giving up one run or less in, what was it, 13 straight starts? Like, he was filthy. He should be on the list for that alone. ERA in the 220s, top 10. And I know people do go with the Sierra, go with the XFIP and the FIP and all that stuff, but tell me a batter in the major leagues that would put not put Dylan Cease in the top 10. Tell me one of them that has faced him last year. You saw the looks of Mike Trout. You saw the looks of Shohei Ohtani, other players in the major leagues. I guarantee if you put a list of batters that with their top 10 pitchers, Dylan Cease will be on each and every one of them that's faced him in 2022 because he's just that filthy. I know we were going with the running theme of him being his slider being one of the most filthy pitchers and having one of the best run values in the league last year. I don't know if he finished up with the best, but I don't understand why he couldn't crack that list where I'm seeing people all applause to Zach Wheeler, what he did in the postseason, but you're not allowing Dylan Cease to do the same because his team didn't make the postseason. So you're giving Zach Wheeler extra shine because what he did in the postseason, that's all I can go with because in the regular season, I don't think Zach Wheeler was a better pitcher than Dylan Cease.
Real quick, to your question of what hitters might not put Dylan Cease in their top 10, I think Giancarlo Stanton doesn't think Dylan Cease is shit. Two for two, those two hits were home runs. He has a 5,000 OPS in the last season for Stanton. Jose Altuve, 1-for-2 against Cease with a walk and a home run. Jake Cronenworth, the same. Vinny Pascantino, the same. And, of course, Sergio Alcantara, the same. 1-for-2 with a walk and a home run against Dylan Cease. But your point is well taken.
Well, I think this is where you get into that criteria thing, right? Because I think if you're going based on top 10 pitchers who had the best 10 seasons in 2022 – obviously, he's on there, right? And I think maybe the people who are making putting this together go think to themselves, well, okay, well, now I'm thinking about 2023, and I'm thinking who's going to be an awesome pitcher in 2023. Maybe it's just a matter of they're more excited or more bullish on the chances of some of these other guys to do something big. Cease was amazing last year. Here's my question, though. You got people in the comments, Herb, yourself, you fall into this category. You're downright insulted that Dylan Cease was not on the top 10. What if, and they didn't release it, so I have no idea, but what if I told you, like, oh, yeah, they thought he was 11? You know what I mean? Like, the point that I made at the top, man, there are so many good arms, it's kind of hard to screw up a list, but when you stop at 10, there's going to be really good guys at 11, 12, 15, and all the way down. So I think that you probably, I think that there will be 10 pitchers better than Dylan Cease in 2023. That doesn't sound like an outlandish statement to me because he could still be one of the 11 or 12 best pitchers in baseball. But certainly, based on what he did last year, he deserves the respect of somebody who has accomplished what he's accomplished and, by all accounts, has a lot more to show as well.
When you first walked in, I mistakenly took your shirt as a size C shirt rather than a Johnny Cash shirt.
Johnny Cash,
So I was just, you know, I get it.
Mustache.
He might be the 11th best, but also he might be the best. He might be size Cease. We made the shirts for a reason. I think there are reasons to be scared off of Dylan Cease just because, again, like, you know, Justin Verlander pitched in 28 games, 175 innings, Dylan Cease 32, 184. I mean, basically that's 9 innings separating them and 4 games. You know, Justin Verlander pitches 4 games. I think he had 22 of his 26 starts reach 6 innings. Like, that's just, you know, competitive. That's just efficient. Dylan Cease really isn't efficient. He's very flashy, 226 strikeouts in the past 2 seasons. Nearly 500 total over the past 2 years. It's just the fact that I think, you know, he gets himself into trouble a little bit too much. And even then, like, the White Sox didn't help him out a lot last year. Like, hopefully, if the team's able to hit, he doesn't lose to the Tigers 2-0 because the White Sox can't hit Bo Brisky.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, Sergio Alcantara.
Is that the meat on Steven's sandwich today?
Yes.
Is that a Brisky sandwich over there?
That's a Bo Brisky. or, you know, Sergio Alcantara and Stone Garrett hitting, you know, 2 solo shots won't ruin his day against Arizona because the team can't hit against whoever, you know, Arizona threw out.
And Herb, to your point,
I think it was Zach Davies.
The national folks, Sean's out of here. To your point, the national left his phone over there and literally got up, ruined the whole live stream. Sean or Herb,
it's a podcast too. I mean, we usually get like about 1,000 downloads. I mean, some people don't even have to see.
But now everyone knows.
Now the magic's ruined.
Them.
Yep.
You brought up kind of the quote unquote White Sox effect. If you go back to that list, Stephen, that MLB Network list, a lot of World Series contenders being represented there. You've got the Mets a couple times, the Yankees, the Braves, the Phillies,
the Angels.
The Angels, the Dodgers, certainly the Rangers spent big enough to be considered in that category. Corbin Burnes has been out of this world good, and then you've got Alcantara who won the Cy Young. I'm wondering, is it just spotlight stuff? Is it that kind of like, oh well, these are the big names kind of thing, so that's where they got to go. Has Cease not, quote-unquote, earned superstar status? The National folks didn't get to see him at the All-Star game last year. Is it all that kind of accumulating to work against somebody whose numbers obviously deserve a spot on that list?
And it can't just be the walks. I mean, I know walks and people are getting mad about 78 walks on a year. Man pitched almost 200 innings. 78 walks is not a lot, especially what I said before. He's stranding those people. So, yes, it is not good to have all those walks. But he is progressively, I know last year he had more walks this year than he had last year percentage-wise. But he's progressively working those down. I don't know why they don't think he's going to get better as a 27-year-old and not put him in. Would you have put him in at the end of 2022, Dylan Cease as a top 10 pitcher? I think most people would have said, yeah. He had the second best year in AL. I would put him on there. And that list is heavily National League focused there. And a lot of New York and LA focused too. So I would say that if you would have had him at the end of 2022 on your top 10 list, what changed? Nothing changed except for he turned 27. He's about to have a dominant year this year too because he's learned the things. This is why I like Dylan Cease, because not only a thrower, like Michael Kopech, I still think is still a thrower. Dylan Cease has progressed from a thrower to a pitcher, and now his last bugaboo is just getting rid of those walks. You don't even need to cut him down a ton. Maybe 20 less walks this year, and Dylan Cease is a Cy Young guy.
Well, I've already been accused of being too level-headed. I'm going to go in that direction again. Herb, what we're doing today, obviously we're going to show you our list in a little bit, but that's just the opinion of three people. The MLB Network show. Was the opinion of how many folks?
Three, and the shredder is the official list. It's some made-up person, not the person that you were talking about, the Turtles.
The Ninja Turtles, arch nemesis, yeah.
Yeah, but they put these numbers into the shredder, and it comes out with the top 10 list out of that. And so it's not necessarily the opinion of three
people plus some computer.
Some computer.
Okay. Well, and I think the computer is like the official ranking.
Yeah, it's so the ranking juicy.
This is the computer one. Yeah. So we're getting all upset about the rankings delivered to us by someone who has tried to kill the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Unbelievable.
Well, and two,
you will
we
not
saw
be
it,
in my list, Dylan Cease. He's kind of a shredder slash computer.
Well, and we could be, there's three of us. We could be like the Office Space guys. We could take it out on the shredder.
Yeah.
Or I guess it was a copier.
Fax machine, wasn't
fax
it?
Fax machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. It might have been a printer.
I literally just watched that the other day. It's still great.
Hey, when the evil shredder attacks, those turtle dudes don't cut them no slack.
Okay.
You guys started
just
doing that right
song.
You guys started doing that yesterday before the show.
Vinny started doing it. I knew the song. So Vinny knows the lyrics by heart. I do not.
There's nothing wrong with that. I was just going to ask, what's the favorite TMNT?
Raphael.
Yeah, who's your favorite?
Oh, Donatello. He was the nerd.
Raphael, you
also
the size.
Purple was my favorite color when I was a kid, so.
I'm going to go.
Raphael is cool, but rude.
Yes.
It's right in the name. It's right in the song.
I'll go Leonardo, just because blue is my favorite color.
Sure.
So that's the one I
Michelangelo
to.
Was the funny one.
He's the party dude.
There you
go. Yeah.
Perfect.
Do we have all
four? We got all four represented.
Yeah. Look at us.
The night me and my wife met, we sang the Teenage Ninja Turtles song, theme song together. We both know all the words.
That's how they knew.
That was it.
And that's how they knew.
We need April O'Neil, and we need a Master Splinter.
Oh, yeah. Jake? He taught them to be ninja teens.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Jake could be our Splinter.
Look at him.
Excellent.
I don't know if he's old enough. And Steven, too, instead of Michelangelo, eating pepperoni pizza, it's just a massive sandwich.
Sure.
So that also tracks. Let's take a quick break. We'll get into our little criteria for our top 10, and then we'll start doing it. Why don't we start releasing it? Oh, It's all in one graphic, so we can't do it 1 by 10. We'll just give you our top 10 then. So let's take a quick break. Got to let you know about our friends over at DraftKings. They power this show. And right now, during this week, they are offering NBA No Sweat Same Game Parlays throughout this week. For a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay each and every day. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And this new week, new customers can bet just $5 and win $200 in free bets instantly. So go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get a free bet back. Tonight, the Bulls are playing the Hornets. Maybe it's a revenge game. They shouldn't have lost in their last spot against the Hornets, but they did.
We'll see what Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning have in store for them.
Ooh, I would take the under in my same game parlay for both of those players.
Grandmama.
download the app now and sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 on any NBA game and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. Also got to let you know about Pins and Aces. Steven's our big golf guy on this. Michelangelo was probably a huge golf guy then. If we're
he's a party dude.
He liked leisure though.
The Ninja Turtles didn't strike me as people who like did a lot of boring things.
Surfboarding. He was cowabunga.
We are
dude.
In an ad read.
Cowabunga dude.
That's true. Well, you can still look good.
That's true. Yeah. Hey, with there Pins and Aces, they're the official golf apparel partner of CHGO. While you're bored out of your mind on a golf course. No, I'm kidding. We love our Pins and Aces gear and get tons of compliments on and off the course.
I've been golfing like 2 times in my entire life, so I don't have any expertise in that category.
You a golfer?
I mean, not really. If my people ask me, I'll golf.
Yeah, I golf a little bit more than they do, and I know Steven's our big golfer. He wears all
Steven
of our
crushing balls out there.
300 minimum.
Oh, let's go.
That's feet, not yards. I suck.
Hey-o, but I'm ching.
Pins and Aces are a family-owned golf and apparel business, and they make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and our favorite beer sleeve, an innovative product that allows you to store 7 beers right inside your golf bag and keep your drinks cold the entire round. Load them up with Goose Island.
Absolutely.
Also, too, like Goose can fit 15 in a case. Could you fit 8 cans of Goose in the beer sleeve?
7.
Maybe.
Seven.
I know it's 7, but like
you'll have
our
one.
Goose Island
you'll have
cans
one just on the
built
side.
Different.
You just have one on the side.
You just have one in your hand.
Hey, there's only one way to find out, guys.
That's true.
You buy a beer sleeve and you load it up with Goose and see how many
beer
fit
sleeves.
In there.
Take your one of them out of the Goose Island package and put your rest of your remaining 14 in there.
You can have one over each shoulder.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Check out Pins and Aces.
You and your friends have a great round.
Check out Pins and Aces. That will get Vinny golfing. Check
Absolutely.
Out pinsandaces.com and use code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com and code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order. Thank you for Pins and Aces for supporting this podcast. All right.
Hold on a second. Somebody's questioning Vinny's purple shoes that has a purple avatar.
I don't think you could pick that color.
He was referencing how I said that purple was my favorite color when I was a kid. That's why I liked Donatello the best.
Oh, purple shoes?
Yeah.
I thought he was like
making the connection there.
Oh, yeah. Can we get a honk for the goose? So maybe that's why you
I'm wearing purple socks.
Were you thinking about Donatello when you picked off the shoes?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Maybe that's what DeMond was bringing up. Let's go into our criteria for this whole list. Is it players you would want for 2023? Is it based off of the entire career and paying respect to certain elders? What went into your criteria of making your 15 and your 10, Herb? We'll start with Vinny.
Okay.
We'll go
down the line. I mean, I think you kind of do have to put all that together a little bit. I think I tried to skew a little more recent, you know what I mean? You're going to see a guy at number one who obviously is a no-doubt Hall of Famer, but he's fresh off a year in which he was arguably the best pitcher in baseball. So obviously still you're looking at guys who I think are very, very good today, among the best today, going to have a very good chance of having a very good 2023 season. I am a big, you got one game to win. Is this the guy you want on the hill kind of guy? You know, obviously when you do that, that other prompt that I mentioned earlier, you know, oh, you're going to start a team tomorrow. Who's your ace kind of thing. You know, your mind starts thinking about, how expensive is he and how much team control is he going to be and all that stuff. So I like the great equalizer of It's game seven of the World Series. Go out there and throw me a great ball game. That's what I kind of tend to lean on, but any one of these guys could win the Cy Young in 2023, I think. Yes.
My criteria was, which of these guys would I want to have more than the guy below them? Without the salary included, without the one player of Shohei Ohtani, with the batting included. So my tier, it goes from I want this guy the most to I would want this guy the least on my team. But all of them are champions. All of them are great. So that's what my list reflects. If you're hurt a lot, you're probably not going to make my list. And so there's one pitcher who's obviously going to make the Hall of Fame. It's not going to be on my list, which he was on the MLB list there, what we just showed. But these are more like up-and-coming or still ascending pitchers, or at least plateauing, because the my number two pitcher is just at least plateauing, but plateauing at an elite level.
Yeah, and my thing was, I was looking at this as like, this would be my big board, you know, for doing an MLB The Show fantasy draft. I'm going with a Steve Cohen state of mind. I don't care about salary. You know, I just want the best pitcher. This is who I want for the 2023 season. And I'll say more regular season, because I guess that was a notch down for some of the elder statesmen on my list, is just because I don't know if they're going to have a great 2023 season where they're a Cy Young winner. You know, they might be dominant in a game seven, you know, Scherzer, Verlander, but is there attention on, you know, games 1 through 162, or is it getting the Mets to the playoffs and getting Steve Cohen the championship that he's trying to buy?
So you're more focused on, or it would be more accurate maybe to call your list a prediction of how the Cy Young vote's going to shake out.
Regular season focused more. Yeah, it was, again, big board. Okay. If we're having a draft today, this is the order I'd probably go in.
Gotcha.
1 through 10, you know, and we'll cross it off if, you know,
gotcha.
You know, if Corbin Burns goes, you know, maybe my number one guy is still there. Why don't we look at the list and get into it? Who wants to start?
I'll go.
Let's go. 1 through 10.
All right, of course I went Sandy Alcantara as my number one pitcher. He's dominant. Him and another pitcher in this list, the only pitchers that did not strike out as many batters as they faced innings pitched. It's my number nine guy, Alek Manoah there, also a guy. Sorry, KPW, I have him nine, so he's in the actual list. Those type of pitchers are the pitchers I love. Like, they don't have necessarily the dominant stuff, even though Alcantara has four pitches he goes to about equally. That's what makes him the top guy for me, because you don't know what he's going to throw, and they're all plus pitches. They're all dominant, and so that's why he's number one. The AL Cy Young Award winner, reigning guy, Justin Verlander, now with the New York Mets, is my number two, obviously. That's one of the pitchers I said is just probably just plateaued, but he plateaued at an elite level last year with the Houston Astros. Houston's like, go ahead, go to the New York. We got many other pitchers here, and the absence of any Houston pitchers is mostly because I hate the Houston Astros, but Framber Valdez could have been on this list just as easily. Corbin Burns has been dominant up there in the good land, and the White Sox rumored to have trade talks with him a couple of years ago, whatever. I'm still kind of sore, because it would have been great to have him and Dylan Cease on the same staff, but he's a dominant pitcher with his fastball. And so Austin Nola was the guy we were referencing is better than Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler, I think, had a better postseason, and so people put him in that top 10 list, but it's unfair to put a pitcher into a list where other people don't get to participate in the thing that you're giving them an advantage of. That's the same thing I do with Mark Burley and Andy Pettit. Like, they say Andy Pettit went to more playoff games. Like, well, there is no way that Mark Burley could go to more playoff games. He's dependent on his team. Andy Pettit was just on a great team. And I feel that same way about Dylan Cease versus Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. Of course, Dylan Cease, number five for me. We've already discussed him. Shohei Ohtani. It is ridiculous. This man is a top 10 pitcher, and he is a top 10 hitter. He should get the MVP every year. Even last year.
He might be top five in
both. He should have got the MVP last year, too. As long as he's in the league, him and Mike Trout, it should be called the Mike Trout Award, and they give it to different people every year. I know that Aaron Judge had a great year, but imagine actually pitching at a top 10 level and hitting at a top 10 level and getting second place. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. My number seven guy was, I forgot now, Steven. Carlos Rodon just went over to the New York Yankees. Of course, they're going to put him up. I think they put him up as like third in the league, even had him ahead of his teammate, who I have as number eight, Gerrit Cole, who led the league in strikeouts last year. Of course, I have Alek Manoah at nine. Just ridiculous. And I saw KPW talking about there. It's like he needs to lose weight. No, yeah. He is him. That is what he is.
Anthony Recker.
Like, keep him that size. And his 2 years in the league has been nothing short of phenomenal. As I said, he doesn't strike out pitchers as much as innings he pitch. He just gets outs. He leaves people on base after he gets them on. And he's a filthy pitcher. And the pitcher that I have on last is my guy, and I got the Arizona Diamondbacks hat, Zach Gallen. He pitched 44 and a third innings of no run ball. I'm not talking about no earned run ball. No run ball. That's six starts straight, and he didn't allow a run. Each of those starts was seven innings, except for one. And he's going on the road to Colorado. I know he faces versus some garbage teams, but to do that versus any major league team in that streak tells me you're a top 10 pitcher. The fact that he wasn't on that list, I understand, because he gets the Dylan Cease treatment. Arizona Diamondbacks were a lowly team, as we called them last year. But Zach Gallen, the trade Zach Gallen for Jazz Chisholm works out for both teams, where the Miami Marlins are good and the Arizona Diamondbacks got a stud pitcher. And I think Zach Gallen's going to do nothing but get better. So that's my top 10 list.
Lowest hit per nine last year for Gallen and lowest whip, finished fifth in the NL Cy Young voting. We'll save our honorable mentions for like the second half. Do you just want to do your one through
sure.
10 now?
Yes, I submitted a list of 15 because there were about four or five guys who were like, oh yeah, they're top 10 pitchers, but wait, I have more than 10 guys. But yeah, we can take a look at my list. It's a lot of the same names, but guys, Justin Verlander, picked him before the season started last year to be the Cy Young Award
you
winner.
Did.
And he ended up being the Cy Young Award winner. The guy doesn't stop. He's the best pitcher in baseball. Boy, the Mets got a nice 1-2 punch over there, don't they? I will say this. I know earlier I was like, oh, I went heavy on who do I want to pitch one game. There's only one player that I want to pitch one game for me, and he's apparently, according to me, the third best pitcher in baseball, Max Scherzer. I don't.
You wanted to take your victory lap more than you wanted to
yeah,
follow your criteria.
I don't want any. I don't like the Scherzer hate that Herb had over here, and we'll go ahead and say MIZZIU there forever. My guy, my fellow Missouri Tiger.
It's the Irish that messed me up.
My fellow Missouri Tiger. I love that they used to have. Remember it in DC. They had a giant sign in the outfield
of his eyes.
That was a black and white picture of his face with the two different colored eyes. It was very cool, unique thing to have there. But yeah, Corbin Burns I had at number two. The dude is just filthy year in and year out. He's been really, really good. Aaron Nola, now the ace of a pennant winner, the ace of a team that will be among the favorites to make it to the World Series. Though you'll see here, that NL East is going to be an interesting race this year, isn't it? Because on my list, I've got five. Verlander, Scherzer, Nola, Alcantara, and Fried. Five pitchers in the top six from the same division.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. That's all right. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a thrilling division race this year. Max Fried, so good. So good. And, I mean, we're talking about him sixth on this list. And then, obviously, Alcantara, the reigning Cy Young winner. So there's your trip through the National League East with a guest appearance by Corbin Burns at number two there. Shohei Ohtani, you run out of words to talk about what this guy is. And I remember back to 2 years ago when he won the MVP and he had all the home runs. Great pitching stats, but you were like, oh, well, he managed to be a really good pitcher and, the home run leader, the best hitter in the American League. That's amazing. Last year, the pitching, his ERA plus was 172?
Yeah.
Mercy. this guy's an amazing pitcher. I mean, he's not just a good pitcher that can hit. He is an amazing pitcher. He's an amazing hitter. He's you're absolutely right, Herb. They could give him the MVP every year, and nobody would complain. Gerrit Cole is awesome out there for the Yankees in New York. Really. You remember that was a few off seasons ago. That was the contract that was handed out by the Yankees. It really seems like they're getting quite their money's worth on that one with Gerrit Cole. Jacob deGrom, when the guy is healthy, there's few people who are better. And I understand the history, but I'm not going to predict an injury. And so you got to assume, until proven otherwise, that he'll have a healthy year. And maybe he won't, because he's got a history of not having healthy years. But how does Jacob deGrom signing with the Rangers kind of fly under the radar this offseason? Because you got Verlander going to the Mets, and then obviously all the drama with all the shortstops, Judge signing back up with the Yankees, and yet maybe a guy who plenty of people would argue is the best pitcher in baseball goes to another team, and people are like, all right, that's about the fifth or sixth story of the offseason.
He's on the Rangers.
I think if he was healthy,
you know my thoughts on the Rangers.
All the time, he would be undoubtedly the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the numbers say, right? And then I went ahead and put Dylan Cease there at number 10. It was agonizing trying to pick between him and a former White Sox and Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon, back-to-back amazing seasons, deserves the free agent bucks that he's gotten from now two teams in consecutive off seasons. Dylan Cease, though, is on some kind of trajectory and obviously is already at the top of the sport, finishing second in the Cy Young race last year. So I made a top 10. There are a lot of other guys that could have made the top 10 if only 10 was bigger than 10.
Do you know that Aaron and Austin Nola, they're brothers, of course. Yeah. Do you know they were
faced each other in the NLCS?
They
correct?
Did. Yeah. They were born in a Louisiana town. Do you know what Louisiana town they were born in?
Nolaville.
You would think so. Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay.
That was a trick question.
Trick question. You would think they would be born in that city. Come on now.
Did you know Aaron's the favorite?
He's the oldest, right? Aaron?
I think Austin's older. Yeah.
He comes first in alphabetical order, certainly.
He does.
Yeah. Aaron. Matthew Lucas saying, imagine having Verlander and Scherzer in their prime, too. That team must have won the World Series, right? Right? Screams in Detroit Tiger.
Yes. Sure, but I mean, those two guys have three World Series rings combined, so like they did
played,
okay.
But they played for the Tigers.
Rick Porcello's coming back, too.
Yes. Also won a Cy Young.
He did. I do want to ask this, just because you talked about who would you rather have in a Game 7. Who has the lower playoff ERA between Scherzer and Verlander? Verlander has 34 games started in the postseason, Scherzer 22.
I mean, the first thing you would say, because of the reputation that you always hear, the narrative that we heard, especially going last season when the Astros went to the World Series, you would lean Scherzer to answer that question, but I have a feeling this will be a trick as well.
I'm going to say Scherzer had the lowers, but he did have a rough start versus the Padres last year.
Scherzer does have the lower one. It's kind of close, 358 compared to 364. But you look at what Verlander has done. He has a lower whip, 1.112 compared to 1.118. Again, these guys are very good.
Two future Hall of Famers right there.
Right. Scherzer, a K per nine, 11.1 in the postseason, 3.4 walk per nine, and then Verlander under a 3 walk per nine, 2.9, and a 10 K per nine. So, I mean, even though, you know, he has a 3.64 ERA, it's only because the hitters are pretty good, too.
They
get paid as well. Out of active players, Madison Bumgarner has the lowest ERA.
And yet I was laughed out of the room when I said that he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Waino is 2.
Yes.
Waino's 2. Sure. Gerrit Cole is 3. Anibal Sanchez is 4. I don't know. Rich Hill's 6.
How about that? Yeah. So Herb, I said I got to win a Game 7 of the World Series. I'm going with Max Scherzer. Are you going with Alcantara, or do you look like somebody else on your list?
Yes, I'm going with Alcantara because I think that pitching style works still in the playoffs. He just doesn't get the chance to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to go Alcantara, too. Let's flash up my top 10. I'll save my Alcantara stat here for the end just because I think this is the why I would go for him in a Game 7. We'll start off at 10.
Zach. More Scherzer hate. Unbelievable.
It's less
M-I-Z.
Hate. It's less hate.
NLZ.
I'll talk about Scherzer and DeGrom all later. Zach Wheeler, players with a 110 pitching plus and over 2,000 pitches thrown in 2022, Spencer Strider, Gerrit Cole, Zach Wheeler. He has stuff that's elite, and he's able to locate it at an elite level. Doesn't walk a ton of players. He's top 10 in innings pitched over the past 2 years as well. So shout out to Zach Wheeler and shout out to his wife who didn't want to come to Chicago. Next up is Shohei Ohtani. More stupid stats for you. Only three pitchers on the list pitched less than 300 innings over the past 2 years. Justin Verlander, who missed all of 2021, and Jacob DeGrom, who pitched 15 games or less in both seasons, and Shohei Ohtani, who also hits. All right, so, you know.
And hits well.
The reason why he's under 300 innings pitched is because he hits, and hits very, very well. Ohtani has four pitches with a negative run value, and his slider has a negative 28 run value. Per Eno Saris' pitching plus metric, again, how nasty the pitch is and how well you're able to locate it, Ohtani's slider had the highest pitching plus at 117 plus 2 of any MLB pitch thrown over 1,000 times in 2022. He arguably has the best pitch in baseball. Again, he also hits.
At elite level.
Logan Webb's changeup, who is an honorable mention, was thrown 940 times and has a pitching plus of 117.4. So he might have the best quote-unquote pitch. But shout out to Shohei Ohtani. Eight, our guy Dylan Cease. Even with leading MLB's walks in 2022 with 78, Cease still ranked in top 10 of called strikes plus whiffs. Even though he's not able to locate that third strike sometimes, he still misses so many bats. He's still able to load up the strike zone. He gets so many strikes. Again, 227 strikeouts, 226 in 2021. With slider seeing a wide increase in the league, no one saw a larger boost to their arsenal because of that. Then Cease having the best pitch in baseball with the lowest run value at minus 36 for his slider, threw it 1,300 times.
And he threw that more than his actual four-seam fastball, right?
Yes, he did. Wow. And that's the thing is, if Cease can locate his fastball, and like he told you, work on that changeup to lefties and maybe incorporate his curveball more to lefties, he might be absolutely unhittable. Since May 17th, no one has had a lower ERA than Dylan Cease. Justin Verlander, not even. Dylan Cease has the lowest ERA since May 17th. Max Fried is at 7. Since 2021, Fried has the fourth lowest ERA minus. He would also have the fourth lowest ERA or highest ERA plus as well. It's basically like golf scoring. Lower the better for ERA minus. He has the fourth lowest ERA minus in MLB since 2021, fourth lowest home run per nine in MLB, and only one of seven pitchers to have a win probability added above 5. Justin Verlander is at 6. I understand it's disrespectful, but again, this is like my big board. Is Justin Verlander intent on dominating and winning another Cy Young? Yes. after his Tommy John, or is he more focused on 300 wins, and if he can get to 6 innings, put the Mets in a place to win each game, is he going to be gunning for the NL Cy Young? I'm not sure. I don't know what's more helpful, him staying healthy all the way through the year and making sure that the Mets win enough games as possible to get to the postseason and then going full, you know, blow in the postseason. I don't know if Verlander is going to be able to match that intensity as he did last year.
I think
year.
Vinny's MIZ guy is going to be pushing him towards greatness.
Maybe. Those two in the same clubhouse could be dangerous.
Again,
ask the Tigers. At 5, Garrett Cole. Which pitcher in 2022 had the highest pitching plus while throwing over 3,000 pitches? It's Garrett Cole. From April 24th to September 7th, Cole had an ERA under 3 at 2.98 with 206 strikeouts and 35 walks. 206 strikeouts and 35 walks.
I think good.
With a full spring training, very good.
Yeah.
He's not even on the top 10 pitcher. Like, do they remember Garrett Cole? He's been great since 2017. A normal spring training, a sour taste from a down year from being disrespected by MLB Network, and a new...
From the shredder.
And from new competition in his rotation with Carlos Rodon, I think Cole dominates in 2023. Aaron Nola is 4. Philly said the worst defense over the past 2 years. Aaron Nola in the past 2 years has an ERA of 390 and a FIP of 295. Yep. That's fielding independent pitching. He is the only pitcher with an ERA FIP difference higher than 0.4, and he's at 0.95. He is brutally hurt by the Phillies' defense. He gets a ton of ground balls, nearly a full point difference between his ERA and FIP. He's top 3 in innings pitched in the past 2 seasons, and he has 3 pitches with a negative 7 run value in 2022. He's going to continue to dominate. It's just, I don't know if his defense is going to help him out. My guy Carlos Rodon, 3rd, and the number 1 lefty on this list. Top 3 in F4 over the past 2 years behind Burns and Wheeler.
4.
4.
Yeah.
Highest K per 9 of any pitcher since 2021 and the only pitcher over 12 K per 9. Rodon has the best fastball slider combo over the past 2 years at minus 68 point run value. Scherzer's at 2 at minus 61.5. Cease's at 3 at minus 50.8. So the difference between Cease's fastball and slider and Rodon's fastball and slider is about 18 point difference in run value. Absolute dominance from Rodon. Burns, the lowest Sierra, that's skill-independent ERA in the past 2 years.
It's too many. It's too many.
It's just...
Four or fewer.
It's like
walkouts,
but
strikes,
more.
And home runs. It's basically what
Once you get into
matters.
A fifth letter, now that's just a word.
Second,
no longer an abbreviation.
He used to work with Sierra, right? In NBC Sports Chicago.
That's true.
Yeah. She gets the good stats, apparently.
Second highest walk-to-K ratio, just behind Scherzer, Corbin Burns has, and only four pitches are above 25%. And only Scherzer and Burns are above 27% for K to walk ratio. And then Alcantara is my number one pitcher. Only pitcher with 400 plus innings in the past 2 years. He has recorded 196 more outs than Corbin Burns. That's 65 and a third innings pitched, or about 11 six inning starts. And he eats innings, again, 400 plus innings, and eats it with a 2.71 ERA.
Yeah.
What do you want from a pitcher in the postseason? Get me the most outs that you possibly can. Sandy Alcantara does that. That's what pitchers are supposed to do. He does the job the best.
And the weird thing about this, the only game I've ever been to at Truist Field, it was Sandy Alcantara versus the Braves, and they lit his ass up. They had three home runs. I literally was telling Courtney, I was like, yeah, this is the best pitcher in baseball. She looked at me with the jaundiced eyes. This motherfucker is getting lit on him. They're eating off of Sandy Alcantara. I think they hit three home runs, and then Travis d'Arnaud hit two of them. So I was like, sorry. But he is the best pitcher in baseball. He just has off days. And yeah, that's
they
ridiculous.
All do. They all do.
And that's just ridiculous. Like, in an age of where pitchers don't go as long as they used to, Sandy Alcantara stands above every single body else. Too bad he's on a team that won't get the spotlight, but he'll still pitch well. His whole career he's been pitching pretty good and not really known as a great pitcher.
And that's mostly because of Miami, but now they have all those middle infielders, so watch out.
They're going to be ground. I mean, he ground ball. His ground ball rate's high, so they'll be picking the ball up and throwing the first.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about DraftKings pick of the week. Do you guys have after doing this little segment? Do you guys have a favorite for Cy Young in either league? Did one stick out in this conversation? I do like Gerrit Cole in the American League at plus 600, but as we talked about, would him and Rodon split votes? It's making Cease at plus 900 look appetizing. Manoah's not even on my top 10, and he's got better odds than Cease at plus 800.
That's how good he is. He's only pitched 2 years in the major leagues, and this guy's ascending. He's a big body that can withstand the withers of the whole 162. So, yeah, I would. If what's the number on Alec Manoah?
Plus 800. 8-1.
It's good value, I guess.
Who stuck out to you?
I will disregard this list almost entirely and just make a ridiculous off-the-cuff prediction that the NL Cy Young will be a race between Max Scherzer and Max Fried. A Max will win the Cy Young in the National League. And AL, I'll say it'll be come down to Ohtani, Cease, and Shane Bieber.
Okay. Ohtani at 12-1, Bieber 10-1, Cease 9-1. I can't even find the maxes on here. I'm not even sure.
Where's my guy Zach Gallen at?
Trying to find Zachary Gallen. Oh, that's American League Cy Young. That's why I can't find him. Max Scherzer 8-1, Max Fried 10-1, Zach Gallen 18-1. So watch out, folks. Also in the American League, Chris Bassett's really damn good. 60-1?
Yes, he is.
I don't know if I understand that number. A guy who is currently under MLB investigations at 80-1, you can get Bassett at 60-1. I think that makes a lot more sense. There's your DraftKings pick of the week, Chris Bassett.
Yeah, we all left Spencer Strider off the list. I think, you know,
he's
filthy slider.
Yeah, we'll get to
the
him.
The NL East has so many good pitchers.
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
Looks like it.
AJ Alexi, shout out. Strider, if you like the number. 13-1, and that's on DraftKings Sportsbook.
I also think Lance Lynn's going to have a huge year for the Sox, too.
And he was, what, fifth in 2021?
Third.
There you go. So he had one of the better showings that year as well. And fully healthy, hopefully, knock on wood, if he has a good World Baseball Classic.
He should be.
A clean World Baseball Classic.
Arm should be good. Legs should be good.
72 strikeouts to 6 walks, I think, I think after the All-Star break, his first 10 starts after the All-Star break.
That's
pretty damn
good.
Good. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Also, got to let you know about Chi-Town Cornhole. They sent a box and bags over to our friends over at PHNX, and they have been raving about them. We love our Chi-Town Cornhole boxes. I'm looking at the two of them right behind Steven on set. Chi-Town Custom Cornhole, the number one cornhole provider for Chicagoland and Illinois since 2007. Their signature box style can be designed, digitally printed, covered in vinyl, and painted, and their cornhole boards come in with built-in drink holders recessed in on the back, LED lights to light up the hole, and exterior handles for easy carrying and handcrafted scorekeepers. They could also provide custom bags as well. We have the CHGO logos on white and black bags, and they look very, very sharp. Same with the PHNX people. It's a veteran-owned and operated company, and they can ship anywhere and offer local pickup. So go to the website, ChiTownCornhole.com, and make sure to follow them on Instagram at Chi-Town Custom Cornhole Boards.
Lance Lynn 40-1, tied with Nestor Cortez and Pablo Lopez.
All right, there you go.
And good value right there.
Good value on DraftKings Sportsbook. NBA fans, it's time to bring the hoops action to the palm of your hands with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in free bets instantly. For a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. So go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. And if your team, and if it doesn't hit, you get a free bet back up to $10. So check out the Bulls and Hornets tonight. I think the Bulls win. I think DeMar has a good night, and Nikola Vucevic is rebounding a ton. So maybe there's your little three-leg same-game parlay. Tune in to CHGO Bets at 5:30, and maybe you'll get a full fleshed-out one. But download the app now and sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 in the NBA and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. You guys want to get into our little number one debate? I mean, do you have any issue with Sandy Alcantara? Do you want to get into the honorable mentions? What's intriguing?
Probably honorable mentions that you guys put out there. I mean, I think, you know, we've already made our case for Sandy Alcantara. And Vinny's made his case for, what was it, Jacob DeGrom? Who's your number one?
It was Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander. And I didn't make the case for Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander made the case for Justin Verlander.
By just winning the Cy Young.
Yeah.
You doing it unanimously. Well, let's maybe I'll get to DeGrom and Scherzer. It's just the big thing with DeGrom, it's injuries. It's not that he's a bad pitcher.
No.
Out of the pitchers who at least threw 1,000 pitches in 2021, Jacob DeGrom had the highest pitching plus, according to Enosteris' stuff plus metrics. Again, it's just how good your stuff is and how you locate it. The issue is Class A is second in that stat, and he only threw 37 less pitches than DeGrom. That's a closer compared to a starter. That's my issue with DeGrom. Very great, very talented, very good. Just doesn't do it a lot.
That's fine. I let's put it this way. In the way I think, I would say that that's an argument against him under the question, if you're starting a team, what do you know, this is your prediction for what's going to happen in 2023. If you are going with the idea of this guy's healthy, it's hard to keep him off of that list.
Oh, if he's healthy.
And then again, if you do it how you want to do it, I'm just saying if you're just asking me who's the best pitcher, That guy, if it's a video game, you put him on the mound, you're going to win.
Yeah. Got video game stuff. I don't know if he's going to be there. Like, I mean, again, like, will Texas see him? Like, how many starts will Texas see? Like, 15 and 11 in the past 2 years.
Starts. And certainly none in October.
None in October. Did he pitch at all? When did he get a pitch for the Mets last year?
I think he did in the playoffs.
Last year?
Yeah. When was his last playoff game? Yeah, he pitched last year.
Yeah.
Six innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 8 Ks. And they won the game 7-3.
Not bad.
But only one start.
I mean, because the Padres dismantled him.
That's more on the Mets. Then on Scherzer's end, 2022 was the first season since 2008 he was under 170 innings plus innings pitched.
He was hurt, right?
Yeah, he was hurt. He also had a 15-day IL stint in September, and he returned with a perfect 6-inning outing with 9 Ks versus Milwaukee. Very good. I'm not saying any of these guys are bad. I just think, like, again, like, the Mets bought their team to win the World Series. I just don't know if Max Scherzer and Verlander are not going to have bad regular seasons. I just don't know if they're going to be trying to go, you know, 8 innings, complete game shutouts, because I think they're going to be trying to preserve their body, as both of them have been dealing with injuries over the past couple of years.
But I don't think they know how to do that. they only know how to go full steam
ahead. Especially Max Scherzer.
They're like,
mercy.
We're not going to be gearing down for the playoffs. We're full steam ahead. This is my legacy. I'm going all out. Balls out every time I go on the bump. And I don't have any problems with that. You said it's the first time he did it in a while. So I think that Max Scherzer's like, that was a fluke. I'm back to being Mad Max in 2023. That team's going to be, man. And that NL East, golly.
They got
and that's the thing. Think about it. Just throughout the season, like these are pitching matchups between these guys are like what you want to see in the NLCS and the World Series kind of thing. It's going to be happening every day in the NL East. You're going to see Verlander versus Fried and Scherzer versus Alcantara. I mean,
Wheeler.
This is out of control.
Yeah, and you're going to see Ranger Suarez versus Jose Quintana.
Hey, man, hey.
Crafty lefties.
Hey, don't be bringing up Jose Quintana as he's some bum.
The Mets have the four horsemen, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Carlos Carrasco, and Jose Quintana.
Goddamn right.
As we found out, there's only two pitchers with a minus 10 run value on two separate pitches. Julio Urias, who's an honorable mention for me, and Jose Quintana, of course, in 2022. What other pitchers have we not brought up that maybe deserve some credit? I got a couple. I got three that I can bring up.
I only very briefly brought him up, but I think Shane Bieber is still a thing.
Yeah.
And he's let's put it this way. Right now, Dylan Cease is the best pitcher in the AL Central. It would not surprise me if by the end of 2023, Shane Bieber is the best pitcher in the AL Central. Again, just because he's that good, he's consistent, and, I mean, boy, the White Sox certainly don't ever want to see him again.
The guy that I think is better than Shane Bieber this year is his teammate, Tristan McKenzie.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Is
he going to, like, pitch past the fourth inning every once in a while?
No, he does it, and he's finally got
He pitched, eight innings against the White Sox.
I'm about to say, he's finally got some traction. That skinny body is holding up throughout seasons. I think he can go through this season and become a top 10 pitcher. He's only 25 years old. Tristan McKenzie has finally understood how to pitch and get through, like you said, four innings where he's not just petering out after that and have to be replaced. So I think Tristan McKenzie is going to have a special year this year. And I hope it's not versus the White Sox like he did all goddamn last year. What, 14 strikeouts?
Yeah, I think it was eight innings, two hits, 14 strikeouts, or I think it was even one hit. It was
a good day.
It wasn't pretty.
Good day at the office.
My one issue with Bieber is I just don't know, and maybe he's learning how to pitch with it, and he did have a great 2022, but his fastball velocity in 2018 and 2019 was at 93. 2020 was up to 94.1, and then 2021, 92.8, last year, 91.3. So I'm just worried about his velocity and the dip in that, and, I don't know if that's going to ever return. That's my one issue with Shane Bieber. I want to bring up Logan Webb. The reason he's been really good, pitches in Oracle Park. Guess where he still pitches?
Oracle Park.
That'll help.
Most friendly pitcher park, and his sinker is the fourth best in baseball according to run value. Of course, Ranger Suarez has the lowest run value for a sinker in the past 2 years. But also, he has where is it? His slider has a minus. His slider had a minus 9 run value in 2021 and a plus one run value in 2022. His changeup had a minus 1 run value in 2021 and a minus 12 run value in 2022. He also increased his changeup percentage by 9%. So basically, he has three pitches that he can throw at any time. Throws them basically same amount, 33% of the time. All of them are minus run value pitches. In most of his starts are coming in Oracle Park. I just think that he could throw anything at any time. No one knows what's coming, and then you have to loft it out of Oracle Park as well. I just think that he can have a crazy great season because they pulled a 107-win team out of nowhere, and Logan Webb's been great over the past 2 years. And now if he has three pitches he trusts about the same, that could be very dangerous, especially to, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. If he's doing against those teams, it might – or Dodgers and Padres.
Yeah,
I don't know. I said Diamondbacks.
He's going – they're in the league.
Look at Zach Gallen.
He's going to need to because that offense, oof, friends. They tried. They failed miserably. I mean, of course, they got Mitch Haniger. Of course, they got our guy who we're trying to get here with the – I can't forget his name now. Conforto. Michael Conforto and Yaz is still there.
Young Yaz.
But KP Double brings up Framber Valdez, the guy, the man of the quality starts. What do you have on him, Sean?
Led the AL in – he was the next guy. Led the AL in innings pitches in 2022, Four of his five pitches have a negative four run value or lower. And then from April 25th to September 18th, 25 straight games with a quality strike start. And he had an ERA of 2.41 in that stretch, allowed an OPS of 5.73. He's replacing Verlander.
That team lost the American League Cy Young winner. Look out for that pitching staff. It is still going to be very, very, very good.
Is he the ace or is that McCullers?
I think why not have two?
Well, I was actually going to say, I think Christian Javier might be better than McCullers. And funny enough, on Fangraphs, you talk about the pitching staff and who's going to be replacing Justin Verlander. The article, and I don't know, I just saw the headline. The headline was Hunter Brown, who's going to be replacing Verlander, is Framber Valdez in Justin Verlander's body. And there's a lot of pitching ninja overlays of
sounds
Verlander.
Like a real Freaky Friday situation, right? Doesn't it, Herb?
Yes.
There's a lot of pitching ninja overlays that show Brown's mechanics to Verlander, and they're basically identical. So it's like, great, they have crafted Justin Verlander. The final guy I want to bring up, I guess two guys. Kevin Gausman, he would be my 15th guy. 83% fastball splitter usage for him. I just think if either pitches off, pitching in the AL East in a park that's top 10 in park factors for home runs, I don't know if he has another 5-WAR season because he's just done 2 5-WAR seasons in 2021 and 2022. I'm not sure if that magic keeps up. I think Manoah's probably a better bet for Cy Young, but Gausman's been doing it longer than Manoah, so that's why I gave him the love.
Jay's rotation. Two thumbs way up.
Pretty good.
A good one.
They got Bassett over there, right?
Yep. They got Bassett. That was the guy that I picked for Cy Young, too. So,
And somewhere in the bowels of the Rogers Center, I think Jose Barrios is still kicking around, too.
I want to see him versus the Padres up in Rogers Center.
He's got, I think, top 10 innings pitched in the past 2 years. You guys make anything of Julio Urias? This would be the last name I bring up. 257 ERA in the past 2 years, 341 FIP. Any thoughts as the Dodgers ace? He was top 10 on MLB Network. None of us featured in his top 10.
Yeah, he gets lost because of Clayton Kershaw, of course, Walker Buehler, and Walker got hurt last year. But Urias
had
nothing but a great year last year, and he deserves to be in the top 10. He wasn't in my top 10 because, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But the numbers look great. I was looking at him. I was like, yeah, he looks phenomenal. And it could have been an argument that he should have been everybody's top 10 list. But, you know, I probably would put him in the, you know, could be in the top 10. And he's only, I think he's the younger guy than Dylan Cease. Julio Urias is like 26 years old, while Dylan Cease just turned 27.
And yeah. Herb, this team that you're always talking about, the San Diego Padres, they've got a guy named Yu Darvish who's pretty good, too.
He's good, but
Musgrove,
not
too.
Great. Like, he's not top 10 to me.
Not
he's,
right this second, but no. He would not surprise you if he was there at the end of the year.
No, not at all. His fastball velocity has gone up since he's left the Cubs, just probably feeling it a little bit more out there in the San Diego era. And Joe Musgrove, what can I say about the San Diego kid? He's been phenomenal through the first no-hitter in San Diego Padres history. He'll be loved forever, the Grossmont product.
I'm trying to – I thought I saw a crazy Yu Darvish stat. I was trying to bring it up.
Got way too many pitches.
Go
down to four.
I don't know if that's an issue. I mean, that's it could be Johnny Cueto throwing 95.
Talk to Johnny Cueto.
I think that's it.
Connor, I'm going to Toronto when the Blue Jays play the Padres. I don't know when that is. Probably July. I'll be going there.
That'd be fun.
Driving.
Bottom line, there's a lot of good pitchers.
No wrong answers. Maybe Dallas Keuchel would be a wrong answer. Yeah. I think that's it. And he's not even on a team in 2023, so that's just wrong answer.
Not yet.
We'll see who takes a shot at him. Anyways, thank
Padres
you for watching.
Some starting pitching.
Do you want him on your team?
No, I don't. Yeah. But they need starting pitching.
You with the Chihuahuas down at AAA,
the
right?
Chihuahuas.
El Paso?
Yeah.
Okay.
Down in the West Texas town of El Paso.
There we go. It's the weekend, folks. Go listen to Mickey Robbins.
Who is Marty Robbins.
Marty Robbins.
I don't know who Nicky Robbins is.
His brother. thank you for watching the CHGO White Sox podcast. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him in his pink water bottle on Twitter at EckernRoll23. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Steven Nicholas for producing the show. And thank you to everybody for hanging out with us in the chat. We're up to 24 likes, so why not like the video on your way out? Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you we'll see you on Monday at 4 p.m but then we'll have a podcast only on Sunday, maybe like Monday morning as well, so watch your feed for that. We'll talk to you then. Go Sox.